This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening, and I'm down among our listeners on affiliate station KUT in Austin, Texas. Who are our listeners in Austin, Texas?
Where do they send the freaks and the rockers? Where does Texas send its mom and papas? If you live in Texas and you don't fit in, well, you pack your bags and go to Austin. Will you pack your bags and go to Austin?
Wisdom there from musician Dan Potthast, who perhaps observed that touring through Texas with his indie band, The Stitch Up. He's actually lived in this town a couple of times. Reporter Ben Philpott, the freaks and people who don't fit in all packed their bags for Austin. Let's try to confirm that. Is it true?
That's right. Even our Republican governor says that Austin is the blueberry in the tomato soup.
Nice. Ben Philpott, senior reporter for KUT, right here in the studio with me. Ben, thanks for welcoming us back to KUT.
We're just glad you brought the rain with you.
We'll be talking to you a bit later on an important political issue in Texas that is having an impact on the availability of health care for women. But I love the fact that you're trying to end your drought in one day here. It's a monsoon.
I'm not sure when the last time we had more than 2 days in a row of rain was. I don't remember.
Thanks for that. I feel very, very welcome. It's sunny in New York today. Ben Philpott will be back with us in just a moment. But this hour, we'll be talking about how control of the internet increasingly means political control around the world. Just check out the front page of our partner, the New York Times, on hackers into the international banking system, hackers coming from Iran. And we begin with a look at Iran's aggressive multidimensional push to maintain its stability in the midst of turmoil in the Middle East. That's our top story. Is Iran concerned about global pushback over its nuclear program? Is it concerned that dissidents might relaunch protests that we saw back in 2009 and create the next Syria? Or is the religious elite growing out of touch with Iran's young population, a new generation born after the Iranian Revolution in the 1970s? Well, Noah Schachtman, contributing editor for Wired magazine and editor of its national security blog Danger Room, says recent analysis of Iran suggests it may have quietly built one of the most powerful global and domestic spy networks in the world. Noah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what is this capability that Iran seems to have, and who is it paying attention to with its network of spies?
It's called the Ministry of Intelligence and Security, and reportedly it has a network of over 30,000 agents, both throughout Iran and overseas. It's primarily a domestic internal security agency. Think of it almost as like the Islamic version of Hoover's FBI, trying to clamp down on dissidents. But dissident networks are woven throughout the globe, and so they do overseas operations as well.
Is this an indication that Iran has learned lessons from the experience in 2009 after the election, or is it looking at its ally Syria for what can happen if you don't clamp down and preemptively take control of dissidents before movements start?
Well, this agency has been around long before 2009. In fact, a little bit famously, John Brennan, the new pick for the CIA chief, when he was head of station in Saudi Arabia, used to have interactions with folks from this agency. So it's been going on for a long time, and obviously the mullahs have been looking to control their own population for a long time. But with the unrest in Syria, there's new impetus for them to lock down even tighter.
Is the fact that, at least according to the research that you quote in Danger Room, 30,000 spies here, what's the scale of a network of spies? And the irony is, what did the Iranians used to call the United States? The spy den, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think these are informers and agents. I don't think these are all James Bond types, but it is extensive. There's, both spy agent handlers. There's also a whole disinformation wing of this ministry that publishes propaganda. That sort of names and shames people that they believe to be American or Zionist spies. It does a lot of counterintelligence, trying to expose foreign agents in their midst. So it's a pretty multidimensional agency.
Could it have something to do with the story on the front page of the Times, hackers from Iran getting into the international banking system?
Yeah, I don't think it's clear what the connection is, if any at all. And if you look at that Times story, it doesn't exactly say that Iran is responsible. It just says that some computer security professionals believe the attacks are very sophisticated and therefore government-backed. But clearly this is a group that is that did the bank hacking that's hostile to the U.S., and it shows that, you know, we're not the only ones with pretty sophisticated capabilities to reach out and screw with people's computers.
Well, before we go then, what do you think is driving this? What's the real takeaway? Is it a sort of precedent, a status quo, that Iran has been paranoid about the West for quite some time, and this is just sort of an infrastructure that is built up over time? Or is the religious elite really concerned about being out of touch with the growing young generation in Iran?
I think it's both of those things, and I think it's also evidence, further evidence, that there's a growing shadow war between the West and between Iran that's being fought by these spy agencies, and I think you'll only see more of it to come.
Noah Shachman, contributing editor for Wired Magazine and editor of its national security blog, Danger Room. Thanks so much, Noah.
Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.